Good morning, and a special thank you to each of you who has gotten up and down here. Very much appreciated. My first speaker this morning is Mark Sorensen. Mark brings over 30 years of experience in the software industry to his role as next generation computing executive for the IBM Software Group. In 1989, Mark was named one of the top developers by PC Magazine for his work in the banking services market. He has held roles as chief architect, COO, and a number of sales executive roles. Over the past 25 years, he has helped companies like Borland, Attachmate, Oracle, Netscape, WebMethods, etc., develop product strategies, increase revenues, and drive operational efficiency. Mark joined IBM in 2004. He has been responsible for multiple business areas, including InfoSphere and WebSphere brands, and helped launch IBM's new Pure Systems brand in 2011. Currently, Mark leads an integrated cloud team with responsibility to help customers vision, design, and understand how a cloud can improve business metrics and agility. He's a certified SOA solution designer, cloud certified, and an IBM Software Top Gun 10% member. Please welcome Mark Sorensen to Cloud Computing West.
Wow, that was a lot, man. I didn't realize it was that long. That was like 20 minutes right there.
I just went through wow, that's really loud. A residency at IBM. That's how I got this new title, which is an IBM Red Books Thought Leader. So you can follow me on Twitter and IBM's blogs and all that kind of stuff. This is good morning. This is my dog, Bob Barker. And this is what he does every morning when I get up in the morning to come see him. He lays a big smile on me. So I thought I'd give everybody a good grin there. Around cloud, it's all about thinking differently. So I put this up there to get you to think about, when is 1 + 3 equal to 1? And I'm going to let you think about that for a few minutes, because we'll come back to that. But really, the point about cloud is if you think traditionally the way you think about IT today, you won't succeed in cloud, because it's about modifying roles, modifying organizational stuff, changing technology. So 1 + 3 does equal 1, and it is a true statement. This slide just talks about what's going on in the market. Simple slide. Green means what's going on in pure cloud. Red means what's going on in hybrid. And most importantly, you can see blue means which is on-premise. Typically cloud infrastructure deployment, it's going through the floor. And this is part of IBM's challenge right now, is how do we increase our business in the green and the red when a lot of our core business is in this blue data center world? And it's going on all over right now. So we're in front of this. Cloud is about innovation. You'll hear this, I'm sure you've heard it all day during the conference. Optimization has already happened. Many people are driving, I was talking to the guy from Citrix here, are driving already the virtualization of physical devices and servers, right? Many companies have done that and driven that kind of cost savings. The companies that I work with that are really implementing cloud successfully and in the big picture are because of innovation. Deliver it quicker, faster, easier. I'm gonna skip that slide. So this is just to that point. So if I leave you with one point around a cloud strategy, right, of all the slides I'll rip you through here, that's the point I would want to leave you with. Is as I deal with companies every day, that's the problem. And it happens in IT. IT, and I'm an IT guy. IT is resistant to many new disruptive technologies like this because it changes roles. If I'm the VMware guy, what am I doing in a cloud? Right? When they give me the whole stack and I'm not partitioning VMs anymore, what do I do? This is the problem in IT. You need to think differently and always push. This is about savings, why people are doing it in the cloud. Plenty of data out there. These are 9 steps, and this will be posted up on Marty's website later for you. But really, these are the 9 steps that I've seen, and they've been put out in a report, right? Assemble a good decision team that has power, not just IT people, business people. A good business case, good deployment model, right? On-premise, off-premise, hybrid, what are you gonna do? Service model, who's gonna do it? What kind of proof of concept you're gonna drive through? Integrate those solutions. Who's gonna develop and manage it? Those are the key steps. It's pretty prescriptive. And I've been doing technology for, you can always put new disruptive technologies in a list of things you need to do to get them done right. This slide just talks to business drives workloads. Workloads will be deployed on cloud. That's the simplification of that slide. So uncover the workloads within the business. BPM, commerce, SAP, uncover those workloads. And then you'll deploy them and determine about the blower part. How will you deploy them? Infrastructure, platform, service, software as a service, private cloud, managed cloud. Pretty simple chart. And that's one of my jobs, is keep this stuff simple. People want to make cloud complex. It's really not. One of the best slides I like to talk about, which is this. Traditional on-premise is at the far left. Software as a service is on the far right. The most important part of this is, what does the customer have to manage? And that's from an IBM perspective. Or what does IT have to manage? So if you go with software as a service, all the light blue means that provider handles everything for you, top to bottom. If you're in the old school, traditional on-premise, you do everything, right? Your application, server, storage, network, you do it all. The big Trojan out there is software as a service. I can tell you many SaaS providers right now are finding their customers moving back and actually wanting to own the application, the metadata. Even a company like Salesforce.com. So software as a service is a big buzzword out there. I propose that most people are going to be in this area called platform as a service. How do you uncover the workloads? Simple checklist, same thing, it'll be up on the website. I'm not going to walk through a bunch of details here on this, but uncover the workloads, prioritize them. It's important, it's easy to do. Is it part of cloud? What are the barriers to doing it? Can I do it in-house, external? So create, now I've got a bunch of these, right? At the IBM website, Thoughts on Cloud, you can find a bunch of these kind of assets that will help you determine your cloud strategy. Workloads, it's all about workloads. And if you saw that slide I put up that talked about software as a service, platform as a service, that's a workload. That whole stack, the server, the storage, the compute, that's a workload. What type of workloads are good for cloud? This is what we found at IBM. Doesn't mean yours won't be good. You know, you could be down this not ready for cloud, you're deploying a cloud. But most likely, collaboration, right? Risk and compliance, big data, mobile. These are the things that are really more ready for the cloud. So, you know, don't swim upstream is what I tell people around technology. Another kind of heat map, right? Infrastructure as a service kind of heat map around governance. You need to talk about governance when you're kind of setting a strategy. It's a word I hate, means control, but you got to do it. Storage provisioning, problem incident management, right? How are you going to release? There's a new word out there called DevOps, continuous delivery. But you want to create these heat maps. Selecting a deployment model, I would say everybody's going to be hybrid. In fact, probably everybody is hybrid. If you've got a mainframe, you're already a hybrid cloud because you're using mainframe stuff as virtualization. So I'd say most people will not just be all private cloud. I'm working with some of the Fortune 500 and they're using mostly private cloud. But when they do some bursting, they might burst out into the public cloud for some big data analytics. So everybody's hybrid, they might have a mainframe. And that's the challenge in hybrid is, how do you manage it? Okay, everybody can deploy it. How do you manage it is all. How do I know that I can take a workload and create workload portability? So I can move that workload from a private cloud to a public cloud. I could lay it across those. How do you build it that way? So some deployment models.
I am Innovation Man. I am here to get you all fired up about innovation. Are you fired up?
I'm fired up.
Are you fired up?
I'm fired up.
I said, are you fired up?
Yes.
Why are you fired up?
I don't have any idea.
I'm doing cloud. I'm doing cloud. What are you doing in cloud? I don't know. I mean, that's what I get all the time when I'm walking into a customer. And IT claims they're doing cloud. And then I'll say, well, give me some, what are you doing in cloud? Well, I don't know. It's not that drastic, but I get a kick out of that because I hear the word cloud all the time. And the fact is, the problem is they don't have the business behind the cloud. IT is doing cloud, right? They may be doing, but if the business isn't behind cloud, driving a workload concept, you're never going to get what I call the easy button. The easy button says, deploy me a new BPM instance. I hit the easy button, and the server shows up, the software's on it, the compute's there, the backup's there, the software's there, I'm running BPM. That's the easy button, and that's what cloud should be. If I had an iPod, okay, what's an iPod cost today? Let's say a 2 gigabyte iPod. How much is one of those? Anybody? 40 bucks? How much could I buy a 2 gigabyte USB memory stick for? Yeah. Eight bucks, 5 bucks. So a 2 gigabyte, USB port, no, an 8 gigabyte, let's say this 8 gigabyte USB, $8, a 2 gigabyte iPod, $40, $5. Why? An iPod is a cloud device. It's a workload device. Think about it. It backs itself up for you, right? It can sync with other devices. If I need a bigger one, I just buy a bigger one, and it can already roll over and put stuff back from the cloud into it. It does backup. It's got storage. It's got the workload. It's got the software to play the music. So it's a workload device for music. I love that analogy because that's what cloud should be, is a simple, easy button around a workload of BPM, commerce, SAP deployment. So I was, that's a great analogy and way to think about cloud simply. You need a reference architecture. I'm an architect and I love architecture slides. This one's hard to read because of the colors in the room here, but find one. There's a bunch of them. IBM has one called the Common Cloud Reference Architecture. It's version 3.5, been around 6 years. You know, it's a good asset, but there's a bunch of them out there. Use your own, use ours, doesn't matter to me, but find one and stick to it because this is how you'll determine the gaps in your cloud strategy. So you take the business needs, better margins in my stores. There's 8 projects in IT that align with those big business needs. Those 8 projects need to be deployed some way. Some will be cloud, some won't be cloud. The ones that will be cloud, okay, I'm gonna determine those. And then I'm gonna look at a reference architecture and say, what are the gaps in the technology that I have to deploy that? It's that easy, it really is. Create these following the path of business needs, projects in IT already approved and already funded, I'm not gonna create new ones, right? What could be deployed on cloud? These, what are the missing gaps? What are the technologies? And that's why you want this reference architecture. Roles, this is my last slide. Roles will change. You don't need to understand all these roles, but the fact is roles will change. A great example is in our pure application stuff, right? Oracle has X boxes, these workload boxes. They are people called pattern creators that has to understand, that these people need to understand how does a cloud workload move from this type of workload deployment to maybe public. And there are things called patterns. And the pattern determines what kind of Java is going to be loaded, what kind of database is going to be loaded, how much compute power I need, what's the prioritization in the cloud stack. So if this app is really important, does it go down? So all these things are part of this pattern or in a good cloud topology. That's a whole new role that isn't in IT now. There's service managers, there's security people that have an enhanced role around cloud. I would also throw out there, if you've seen a lot of cloud is more secure, not less secure. It's called security in numbers, right? If everybody's having issues with cloud, it will be fixed. So security is one thing that's getting a lot of hot around cloud, and I say as a strategy, you need to be addressing it, but if you have the right partners, you really don't need to worry about it because other people are taking care of that for you. OpenStack, I thought I was not. read about it, get current on it. It's how you get free stuff in the cloud to start your thing, your stuff. Right? OpenStack is great for sandboxing, is great for, you know, those developers who want to spin something up real quick and try to play with it. Most companies are buying a stack above OpenStack. It's the things that help you deploy VMs, right? All based, and we have 300 contributors right to this OpenStack. It's better than Linux right now, so it's happening. Get aware of what's going on. There's all these sorts of standards that are evolving from it, like come around compute, around object store. You know, you got OpenStack identity, so some security services in there. So it's something you want to keep current on and understand what you're paying for and what you shouldn't be paying for. That's a maturity map, same thing where you want to be, from a sandbox, deployed, optimized, and then you enhance it. Final story. You came to a conference about relationships, right? Most importantly, you're going to learn some stuff. You're going to meet some new people here. IBM is a 100-year-old company, and our company is all about relationships. So this story about Fred Martha. Fred Martha, my grandmother and grandfather. And when they got married, Martha had a shoebox. And she put that shoebox up in a closet. Told Fred never to look in that shoebox as long as they're married. So they go on 30, 40, 50, 60 years they're married. And Martha's getting ill. Fred says, Martha, can I read the box? Because I'm worried if you pass and open the box, I won't understand what it was all about. I'll know what's in there, but I won't understand what it's all about. Martha says, go get the thing, Fred. Fred gets it, opens it up, whatever. And inside the shoebox are two doilies and $830. Fred, my grandpa says, what's with this? She says, well, listen, Fred, when we got married, my mother said every time I got angry with you, I was to knit a doily. I'm sure everybody in here knows what a doily is. I don't have to explain that. So I was supposed to knit a doily every time I got angry with you. My grandfather was astounded. 60 plus years of marriage, two doilies in that box. I mean, couldn't we all, in our professional career or personal career, be proud of two black marks, right? Over all those years, two black marks that made her so angry, she did it to us. So he's feeling really good about himself. That's a story of a relationship. But then he said, what are the $830 for? He says, that's what I sold the rest of the dollies for, doilies for. I'm Mark Sorensen. I am an IBMer, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. Now, as Marty said, do we have any questions for Mark while he's still here in the hot seat?
Yes, sir.
This is a broad question, and maybe some of the members here would also like to help answer. So in my experience, there is a huge need for services and benefits of the cloud to a large number of company employees and their core competency business. In my personal experience, it has been the gatekeepers of the IT at those companies who feel threatened and feel really that they would rather keep their job with an older whatever it be, database, internal hardware, etc. How can we as an industry give somebody some sense of comfort or help them to realize that this is not a threat to their livelihood? I don't know how to do. I mean, I'll give you one case in point. I was working on making a sale to Nickelodeon, and their internal IT said, "Oh no, you know, we're using FileMaker as our database internally, and this is, you know, 10, 12, 20 year old technology, and that you'd have to go up to Comcast, the owners of this company, to even consider changing what we're already doing." Yet all of the users of the service I was offering were desperate to get into it, and they were shut down by their own IT people?
That's a big question. from my perspective, and I'd love to open up anybody else, because I'm a seasoned guy, and I've been around a lot of years, so I say do or die, right? Sometimes in markets like this run disruptive technologies, you have to take the position of put the fear, they have to change or they will die. And the good examples are, I'm working with one of the largest credit card companies, right? Huge credit card. The business, right, brought in a private cloud device. The business group brought it in. Drove right over IT. The IT guys, when they brought this box to the data center, go, whoa, stop, drove right over. I guarantee four or five of those guys will probably be out of work in the next year. And so it is about, help them understand to be selfish about this stuff. When new technologies come around, I'm saying from their personal perspective, right? It's really valuable for them to do things like this and at least start to understand what cloud is about. I understand that, no. But the best way is to start to educate them in a way. And it's the same way with kind of a stern voice of, I've learned. It depends where you're coming from, your perspective. But that would be my advice, is it's reality. And if you don't follow these new changing technologies, right, how many FileMaker guys are making a living today?
Any of them that still have a job and can maintain that as their platform. I guess maybe the solution is to help really convert those guys to a hopeful future of working with a different system that they're not involved
right.
in.
Right.
But that takes investment on the part of the...
And it ain't for the weak.
do you guys educate the old IT guys to step up their game?
You know, we do at IBM, for our own internal people, we do, but we do it the way we incentive is by rewarding them for knowledge. The smarter they get around new technologies like that, they'll get, you know, we have a lot of awards we give our people. But it's just they within IBM, and I think that's why I'm speaking from them, our own technologists, is they get rewarded for it. It's about job security. And good technologists want to learn. I mean, I really get jazzed by it, for sure. So. Yeah, we do, but I can't speak for a lot of old traditional companies that's got FileMaker in their house and hasn't convinced their people that maybe you want to think about a real database kind of thing. So that's hard to fight. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, then we will.
Thank you
very much.